Let's hear from the Consortium for Graduate Schools of Management Director of Recruiting how the consortium can help you get your MBA.
Welcome to Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. Your host is Accepted's founder and world-renowned admissions guru, Linda Abraham. At Accepted, our mission is to get you to that unforgettable moment when you read your acceptance email and shout, "Yes, I'm in!" Confident you'll be attending the perfect program to help you launch the career of your dreams.
Welcome to the 395th episode of Admission Straight Talk. Thanks for joining me. I want to invite you to join me again tomorrow, December 9th at 10 a.m. Pacific for an Ask Me Anything with Accepted's MBA Admissions Consultants. This free Q&A is a time when you can ask us the MBA admissions questions that are keeping you up at night. To reserve your seat, please visit accepted.com/395AMA and register ASAP. Again, the AMA is tomorrow, and you can register at accepted.com/395AMA. I'm delighted to have back on Admission Straight Talk Danny Young, Director of Recruiting at the Consortium for Graduate Study of Management. Danny earned her bachelor's degree from Lincoln University in Missouri and her MBA from Washington University, also in Missouri, in St. Louis, Missouri. FYI, she loves cats. Danny, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Hi, Linda. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. How many cats do you have before we get to the serious stuff?
I have two, but I would like to have so many more.
Okay. Sounds good. Let's start with the very basics. What is the consortium?
So the consortium is a nonprofit organization that's been around for over 50 years now. And our mission is to ultimately increase the representation of three target populations in our member schools, MBA programs, and in the ranks of management in corporate America. So our mission is focused on African Americans, Hispanic Americans, and Native Americans. And so our goal is to ultimately increase the representation of those three target populations in our member schools. And so over the last 54 years, we've actually offered $510 million in fellowship support.
Whoa. So, it's $500 million.
Yes, it is.
Okay. That's a lot of money. Okay, great. Now, how can an applicant take advantage, not just of the money, but I mean, there's also membership in the consortium, even if you don't get the fellowship, correct? What are the benefits of membership? Let's start with that. And how do you become a member?
Yeah, so essentially, it starts with our common application process, Linda. And so if you're thinking about pursuing your MBA at one of our 20 member schools, we definitely encourage you to use our common application. And with that common application, a prospective MBA has the ability to apply to up to six of our member schools with one common application. And so obviously the benefit of that is that you'll save time and money when you're applying to business school,
sure.
But you'll also have an opportunity to apply for consortium membership, which is very valuable in itself, and then also be considered for the consortium fellowship. And so the application process is very streamlined. You don't have to apply directly to our member schools. You can apply through us, and your common application will serve as your application to the business school. It will serve as your application for membership, as well as your application for the fellowship consideration. So it's a one-stop shop. Ultimately, the benefits of consortium membership is that aside from the fellowship consideration, you'll have an opportunity to be a part of our exclusive network. So our network consists of our 20 member schools, roughly 1,000 students across our 20 schools currently. We have 10,000 alumni in the U.S. and abroad. And we also have roughly 90 corporate partners that are part of the consortium as well. So that's our network. And that's what membership entails, being a part of that network. Membership means that you have access to our online career center. It's called CGSM Online, and it's a platform only for consortium members. And so it's a great way to have connection with our corporate partners, upload your resume, look at job posting and job opportunities. And then in addition to that, membership means that every new consortium member has a chance to attend our annual orientation program and career forum, or we call it OP. And so that's the highlight of the consortium experience. It happens every year in early June. This past year, it was supposed to be in Seattle, Washington. With COVID, we had to transition the conference to virtually, but it worked out really well. But next year, our OP will be in New Orleans. So hopefully we'll be able to be on site for that. But that's a 4 to 5 day conference in which new members have a chance to connect with other consortium students across our schools. They have a chance to attend workshops and seminars on business related topics. They get a chance to have direct access to our corporate partners and also attend our career forum. So even before they start their MBA program in the fall, they have an opportunity to land an internship and, you know, have job interviews before they start their MBA program.
That's fantastic. So in terms of becoming the consortium member, you apply basically with a consortium application to up to 6 business schools, correct? If you're accepted to one of those business schools, are you automatically a member?
No, not at all. So we're also looking for applicants that have the ability to get into one of the member schools, but also have the passion and commitment to our mission. We are looking for candidates who embody our mission. So, you know, we want you to show us that you are committed to diversity and inclusion as it relates to our target populations. How have you positively impacted those organizations? So we will ask applicants to write a membership essay in which they'll need to articulate to us in that essay how have they championed diversity and inclusion, whether it's in their community, their workplace, at the undergraduate level, how have they impacted those target populations? So we want them to provide examples of that. Also, we want them to have a recommender that can attest to that as well.
Sure.
So they need to provide a mission recommendation and choose someone that can say, hey, this person is passionate about diversity and inclusion. Let me tell you why. So that's what we're looking for, in addition to having the ability to gain admission into one of our member schools. They have to be passionate about our mission and be able to show an example or examples of that.
If somebody is passionate about the mission and, let's say, is not accepted the first time they try to business school, they can apply again through the consortium, but they cannot yet be a consortium member. Is that correct?
That can be a scenario when someone applies through us and they gain admission into the school, but not membership to the consortium. They can simply, you know, apply next year, but they would have to start all over with business school. They can't just start their program and reapply for membership. They have to start the process over again and just reapply the following year. That happens sometimes. And typically when that happens, that person just did not do a good enough job explaining in their membership essay how they've demonstrated commitment to our mission. So it does happen. But again, they can certainly reapply in the following year.
All right. And I believe the consortium only accepts applications from U.S. permanent residents or citizens. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And which schools are member schools?
So we have 20 member schools.
That's a lot. It's been growing.
A lot. The complete list can be found on our website at www.cgsm.org. But we have 20 awesome member schools that are committed to diversity. And obviously, they're looking to increase the diversity within their MBA programs. Just recently, we had, in the last 2 years, Rice University has joined the consortium located in Houston. Right. And then also University of Washington, Foster Business School.
Wonderful.
Joined the consortium. So we're very excited to have those two new schools on board. So we're up to 20 now.
That's fantastic. That's a lot of growth. I think when I first was introduced to the consortium, I think it was 12. Something like that. So
Would have been in
the, I think that's what I remember, probably the early 2000s, something like that. Congratulations. Is there a cost to joining the consortium? And I think you've outlined the benefits really well.
Yeah, there are no membership dues associated with consortium membership. Okay. We just ask that you continue to be an advocate for the consortium and also, you know, donate with your time. So many of our consortium alumni and current students, they give back by helping attend some of our recruitment events, talking to prospective MBAs, and they give back with their time. They may ask their corporate partner to be a sponsor. And in some cases, they may give back and donate money as well. So, but there are no membership dues associated with membership.
All right. Can you review the core essays in the consortium's Common App?
Yeah, so the main core essay is dealing with short and long-term goals.
Okay.
And that core essay will be seen by all the schools. So if you choose to apply to 6 of our member schools, that general essay will be seen by those schools. And then there's a membership essay. And that membership essay is what will be seen by the consortium, not the schools. And that's what our recruitment team will look at to assess if we want to extend new membership or not, that membership essay.
So will the schools see it also?
They will not see the membership essay.
Okay.
The schools do not have a part in membership, so they will not review your membership essay or your mission recommendation.
But they frequently have supplemental essays, right?
Yeah, the schools definitely have supplemental essays. So if you choose to apply to 6 schools, You will have the core part of the application to complete, but also you'll have individual supplements for each school that you're applying to. So yes, within those supplements, that's what the schools have created, and they have a series of questions and essays that they want to ask the applicants applying to their school.
And are there any other elements to the CGSM application, or is it just what the schools require?
Of course, there are the transcripts, there are recommendations, and the great thing about our application is it's all streamlined. So rather than having to send your transcripts to the schools directly or send your test scores to the schools directly, you can have it funneled through the consortium. And so, for instance, the recommendations, we have three total. We require two professional recommendations and one mission recommendation. Right. And the two professional are seen by the schools. And so we simply ask that you input the contact information of your recommenders in our application, and they will receive a link to fill out the recommendation form. So you don't actually have to ask them to write a letter recommendation. They will fill out a form once you input their contact information. And with the GMAT and GRE score, you would just request to have your official score report sent to the consortium, and we will forward it to the schools on your behalf. And the same thing with the transcript.
Are any of the consortium schools test optional or experimenting with test waivers? Or
so with COVID-19, you know, we have 20 schools, so every school is doing something a little bit differently. But we know that there are some schools who give students the opportunity to apply for waivers. Some of them don't have it automatically. You have to apply for a test waiver. And based on the criteria, if you meet the criteria, they may decide to waive it or not. But we are noticing some schools are offering more flexible test score requirements. Yeah. But again, every school is different.
That's right. It's interesting times. What's the difference between being a CGSM member and a CGSM fellow?
So there is no difference. You're a consortium member regardless of if you received a fellowship or not. So you have consortium members who were offered fellowships, and you have some who weren't.
All fellows are members, but not all members are fellows because they didn't all get the scholarship.
Correct.
Okay. How does CGSM, you mentioned that sometimes at the OP, people can even be placed for their internships, but how does CGSM help its members in terms of career placement?
Yeah, we don't offer career placement, but again, we have that online career center called CGSM Online, and that's a portal that our corporate sponsors have access to. So they're always in there sourcing resumes and posting jobs and whatnot. And a big part of the preparation before OP is the schools, the career offices at the school will help the students prepare for OP since they're going to interview and whatnot. But we don't do job placement, but we do have a portal that's designed for consortium members only. And our corporate sponsors have access to that. And they're looking for candidates to fill these positions, particularly these internships.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, 2020, this is 2020, right? It's a year that's going to go down if somebody did a word cloud search on the internet, the word unprecedented would definitely be one of the larger words in that cloud. Unprecedented, yes, this, absolutely. Unprecedented that. How has CGSM changed or adjusted as a result of both the pandemic and the renewed focus on racism in the wake of the George Floyd murder?
Well, I'll take a step back and start with what's the biggest change for us right now is actually we moved into a new application system.
Oh, all right.
So that is a huge thing for us because our goal has always been to improve the application process for our candidates to make it as seamless as possible. We've integrated into this new application system in which it makes it so much more easier to navigate the application system. It's easier to toggle through, and we've gotten a lot of great feedback from it from our round one applicants.
That's great.
So that's really one of the biggest changes that we've had this year, moving into a new application system. That is huge in itself for us, and we're still working through it. And we're proud to say that our round one application numbers are up right
Fantastic.
Now.
Wow.
Yeah, we have 265 right now compared to 232 at this time last year.
Fantastic.
So we're expecting probably the same trend for the round two applications that are coming up in January 5th. But ultimately, our CEO released a statement on what's happening in today's climate, and it just kind of reinforces how important organizations like the consortium are now more than ever, the reason why we exist. And so we definitely have released a statement to all of our constituents about that. And it just reinforces why we are here, the importance of us existing trying to get more underrepresented or underrepresented populations in these MBA programs, top MBA programs, in these companies as well, because, you know, there's a lack of representation. And so we exist for a reason, and we've been here for 54 years, and we have to do something about it. So our organization is kind of leading the challenge of change, so to speak.
You were before the wave.
Definitely.
You know, not just writing it, yes. You're for it. What advice would you give to someone planning to apply via CGSM in this 2021 application cycle? The next and final deadline is January 5th, right? So they have about a little more than 2 months to get an application ready. What advice would you give to somebody thinking of applying to that January 5th deadline?
I would say go for it. You know, historically, when the economy has been down, when unemployment rate is very high, you see an influx of folks applying to business school, you know, with the hopes of once they graduate 2 years from now, that the economy will be better, have a better chance of getting a job or whatnot. So I would just say go for it. If you've been thinking about it for a while, go ahead and just start working on the application, because this is the best time at this point, especially since some schools are offering the opportunity to apply for waivers. And some schools are taking other tests aside from the GMAT, GRE. Right. There is more flexibility, I would say, with some of the schools now more than ever. So I would encourage someone to take advantage of that and just go forward and submit your application and see what happens. Obviously, do your due diligence and research the schools and make sure you submit a competitive application. But I would encourage someone to just go for it now, especially if you've been putting it off for so long. Consider actually going for it right now. And then just don't wait to the last minute. Our deadline is January 5th. So you don't want to wait until January 4th to submit your application. You can actually start working on your application now. And so give yourself time. It is a competitive process. There are a lot of moving parts to the application. So you don't want to rush the process by any means. And if you feel like for some reason you can't put together the best application at this time, then certainly wait. But the goal is to submit the best application possible, because it is a competitive process. And in fact, we actually see our applicant pool last year, on average, we have about 10% of our applicants who are reapplicants. So, you know, for some reason you don't gain admission to any of these top schools, don't beat yourself up about it. You can definitely reapply next year.
That's right. And I think the advice about time, starting the application, getting going, is absolutely critical. I actually have a podcast, and I'll link to it from the show notes, where I talked about time being one of the biggest advantages in a graduate school application, starting the process early, working steadily. You can have competitive qualifications, but a good application has to present those qualifications effectively. And that effective presentation takes time.
It does. So, it cannot be rushed. And it will show if it's rushed, you know?
It will. It will. Yeah. It'll be sloppy. Now, you have an MBA. Are you glad you got your MBA?
I am. You know, I received my MBA from Washington University in St. Louis about 5 years ago, but I actually went the part-time route. Okay. So I didn't do the full-time route. I actually was working at WashU at the time and had the opportunity to pursue my MBA on a part-time basis. And so I'm very fortunate to have had that experience. I met a lot of great people from all different backgrounds, ethnicities, had a lot of great professors. Learn so much and just really learn how to think more analytically. That's one of the biggest things I took from my MBA, just being able to problem solve better and to think more analytically about, you know, different problems or how to solve things. So it was really a great experience, and actually learn how to be a better leader as well from it. So I'm very, very glad I made the decision just to go for it.
I think it's really important for people to hear, actually. I know it wasn't, I wasn't intending to ask that, but I'm glad I did, because I think you had some really good feedback on it. Now, what do you see coming down the pike for CGSM? We've had this tumultuous year. You have a new application system. Do you see CGSM perhaps working with non-MBA management degrees, going into other areas? What do you see?
That's to be determined. You know, okay. We have a new program that we just launched in the last couple of years called Competitive Advantage. And that's designed for our undergraduate students, sophomore, juniors, and seniors, where they have an opportunity to kind of get a jump start on their career opportunities and being mentored. So that program is probably the newest program in the consortium. And so that is basically, you know, probably the biggest thing in our future that's being pushed.
Makes sense. For sure. Is there anything you would have liked me to ask you or anything you want to tell our listeners?
I would just say, check out our new application system. You know, if you've been in our old application system, if you had any issues or, you know, it was just too much, I would definitely encourage you to consider jumping into the new system. It's so much easier to navigate. It's very sleek looking. And it's just so much easier to just toggle through. So I'm really excited about it. I know our implementation team has spent a lot of time over the last 6 months working with the new system vendor, and we're really proud of this product. As I said before, we've gotten a lot of great feedback about it already, and we're just looking forward to round two and seeing the results from that as well. But we have some virtual recruitment events coming up as well, Linda.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we actually have an alumni panel tonight. So we'll be featuring some alum from our member schools, and they're going to talk about their experience with the consortium. They're going to give some great tips and advice on the application process. And so that's tonight at 7. And then we also have our MAPS event, which we call MBA Application Preparation Seminar. Our fourth and final MAPS event will be November 17th.
So are any of these events recorded?
They are recorded.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And they will be virtual this year, obviously. That MAPS event is a great opportunity to connect with our schools, hear from an admissions panel, getting insight from the school reps. Also, we'll have school breakout sessions where you can talk to the schools directly and get your questions answered and learn more about their MBA programs from current students and alums. So we're very excited about that MAPS event coming up November 17th. If you're a prospective student who needs some guidance or insight about how to submit the best application possible, that MAPS event will really help answer some of your questions.
Okay. I suspect that the podcast is actually going to air after the event takes place. That's why I asked if it's recorded. But if it is recorded, then obviously, listener, you can definitely still take advantage of these two fantastic opportunities. Danny, thanks again. We're going to include links in the show notes at accepted.com/395 to the consortium, as well as to several interviews I've had with consortium school admissions deans. They are all linked to at accepted.com/395. Listener, thank you too for joining Danny Young and me for our 395th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, please tell your friends who are applying to graduate school about the podcast. Let them also learn from future shows, be they with admissions directors, professors, current students, test prep pros, or alumni doing great things. Quick reminder to reserve your seat for tomorrow's Ask Me Anything with Accepted's experienced, expert, knowledgeable MBA admissions consultants. Please visit accepted.com/395AMA and register ASAP. Again, the Ask Me Anything, the AMA, is tomorrow, and you can reserve your seat at accepted.com/395AMA. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.